Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We started this gathering this evening with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تعمرون بالمعروف وتنحون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. That you Muslims, you the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, are the best Ummah, the best of Ummahs sent to humanity, to mankind. Because why? Conditional. You enjoin ma'roof, what's good. You forbid the munkar, what is evil. And you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't add much to what my respected brothers and ulema have said this evening. But I want to summarize really what I think we should be doing regarding this issue of Syria. The way the Muslims in Britain are treated regarding Syria, in particular our brother Muazzam, and the other two and the many others that have been arrested in the past days and weeks regarding this issue. I want to summarize some of the things we've been talking about. And there are three things I think I take from this. One is that we have to stand together united. Two, we have to enjoin good and forbid evil. And three, we have to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are an ummah. That has to have some meaning. Allah addresses us as an ummah. It has to have some meaning. It means you are united. You are bonded by a belief. Like our brother said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described us as a body. And Muslims here, thousands of miles away from Damascus and Aleppo and Homs and Hama and Dara, where 3 years ago till today, exactly, the uprising in Syria started. Muslims here in Birmingham felt the pain of that ummah there. When children, literally people here that would be viewed as children, who just wrote some letters on a wall, wrote some slogans on a wall, were arrested by the secret police and mutilated. Their bodies were returned to their families mutilated. And when their families went with respect and dignity to the police and they said, give us back our children, they were told by the authorities in Dara, go back to your wife. I feel ashamed to say this kind of language here because they were children. But I have to say, go back to your wives and make some more children. Because we are not going to give you these back, and otherwise we'll come and make children with your wives. That was the trigger for the uprising in Syria to start. And what did they do? They just spoke out. They just went on the streets marching. No guns, no bombs, nothing. that 3 years ago today that started. As an ummah, you have to be united. You have to care what happened. Wallahi, it's a privilege for us as Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obliged on us that we care about Muslims around the world. And that care needs to extend to those brothers and sisters here who are being punished and persecuted for showing that, whether through charity, whether through going to help, whether through sending money, whether through speaking out. Just because they are arrested and called criminals and terrorists, none of us should use those words for them if they went there with an Islamic motivation. Even if somebody here thinks it's unwise for a Muslim to go there and fight jihad fi sabilillah, and you say that and you publicize it, wallahi, never ever ever use the word criminal or terrorist for somebody who goes and does that. Even if you say don't go or advise somebody not to go. A Muslim is a brother to a Muslim. He doesn't oppress him, he doesn't abandon him. Our unity as an ummah has to be here as well as with the ummah worldwide. The second point, by the way, when they call us here, these people they're arresting, extremists, it's not that the sheikh just said, it's part of the same policy of prevent. It's just Syria has become the headline. So whether it's separating men and women in a room like this, that's extremism. That now is extremism. You try and do that in a uni or a college to have a talk, and you're suddenly an extremist. You slaughter the animal to eat it. That's extremism. Yeah, but, you know, a guy who goes into a fried chicken shop up in the road opposite, you know, that's not extremism. But for us it is. Because why? Because you go into the fried chicken shop because you're hungry, your intention is to satisfy your hunger, no problem. You go to slaughter an animal to eat halal food because you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the law of Allah goes higher for you than anything else, that's the extremism. It is not just your actions, it's actually your intention that they are criminalizing today. And this comes to my second point. Allah makes it conditional. You are the best ummah. Why? Because you enjoy ma'ruf and you forbid munkar. So you want to be the best ummah. Everyone here wants to be part of that best ummah, right? We have to enjoy ma'ruf and forbid munkar. So it means silence can't be an option. Just keeping your head down and trying to stay out of trouble can't be the solution. And in respect to this, there are several things we have to do. You have to understand this policy called prevent and speak against it. Because frankly speaking, this is not about stopping bombs in the streets of Birmingham or London or Manchester or anywhere else. This policy is about stopping the beliefs and values of Muslims in London, Birmingham and Manchester. That's what it's about. It's playing with your deen and my deen. I mean, what a government, what is a government supposed to do? Are they supposed to chase criminals, rapists, or lock up and chase Muslims that want to go and help somebody on the other side of the world and meant no harm to anyone here? What is it the government, job of a government or a police to chase after people who are dodging their taxes, or crashing the banking system, or chase after Muslim charities? We should be actually building a pressure here to say to people, what are you doing? Why are you pointing the finger at this one community, trying to change our beliefs and values? Is that your priority? Haven't you got enough on your plate? When they criminalize Islam, and this issue of Syria particularly, is sending a message. The message to the Muslims of Syria is, if you want an Islamic state after Bashar al-Assad, and you don't want to play ball with us in the West, take this as a message that we are out to get you. Because I'm going to differ with my brothers now on the panel. I don't think there's been any change in policy, actually. I don't think You know, it's not that they were against Bashar and now they're for him. They were always for Bashar. You just go to your web and you Google Bashar al-Assad, William Hague, you'll see a photo of them sitting together. You look at what Britain and America were saying at the outset of this conflict. For months and months and months, he's a reformer. Bashar al-Assad is a reformer. Even when that guy used chemical weapons, and they say he's using chemical weapons, what did they do? John Kerry phoned up the Syrian foreign minister and basically said to him, you know, you use chemical weapons. We might be coming out of your chemical weapon sites now. I mean, they've been saying, they've done nothing. This has been prevarication from day one. Why? Because they will keep Bashar in power unless they can get a legitimate government that is supported by the people that serves their interests. And that's been their problem. Their problem is they haven't been able to do that in 3 years. Because all the cronies that they try and meet up with in Geneva and Qatar and Turkey and these kind of places, not one of them has legitimacy on the ground. So they're sending a signal by saying you're extremists, you're Islamists. They're sending a signal to that opposition saying, unless you play ball with us, unless you play ball with us, you're in trouble. And they're sending a signal to you and me here that unless you care more about British interests in the Middle East than you do about the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are going to be called an extremist. It's about your loyalty to the Ummah or your loyalty to British foreign policy. Frankly, that's what it boils down to. How many of you have heard of Sykes-Picot? Very few hands have gone up. Oh, a few more, a few now. But less than half the room. Go and look up Sykes-Picot. Everyone's talking about World War I this year, the anniversary. Since 1916, the treaty between France and Britain to divide up the Middle East between them. Syria has been a pawn in their game. Located strategically next to Iraq and Turkey and next to the Zionist occupation. You think they're just going to let that place fall into anybody's hands? That is a key in their foreign policy. They were not going to let that fall into anybody's hands. They will continue to back Bashar until they can find somebody who will support him. Enjoining Ma'ruf and forbidding Munkar means that you and I have to understand the games that these global powers play and be able to tell it to people how it is. Because the ordinary Joe on the street here doesn't have a clue what his government is doing. And you and I should be able to tell them that, because you and I should know that it's our duty. The final thing I will say is, you know, those Muslims in Syria, our brother Dr. Ajmal was telling about his experience with them. You know, in the early stages, they called for international support. They said, we're being murdered here, come and help us. And nobody came. Because the big powers in the world, in Europe, America, Russia, they all supported Bashar al-Assad. Subhanallah, you know what? They turned their reliance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone since that time. And their tawakkul has been extraordinary. And that should be a lesson for us. Because you know what we're talking about this evening is taking on a policy which is directed to the whole Muslim community. And that's something that you can't sit silently about. You have to act, stand up, speak out. Put your hand in your pocket and give sadaqah to help your Muslim brothers and sisters. And that means trusting and relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your helper, nobody can overcome him and overcome you, because he is your helper. And if he withdraws his help from you, who is there that can help you besides him? You and I, when it says, Allah says in the ayah, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, this ummah, this best ummah, has to be believing in Allah. We all believe in the existence of Allah. But do we act in a way that we believe that we rely and trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you really have belief in Allah, you'll do the right action despite the pressure on you. You'll speak even though people are telling you not to. You'll do what Brother Muazzam did. And you'll say to the British authorities, I'm going there to investigate you. You'll do what that brother did when he comes back from a prison camp and he could have sat at home, but instead he goes out to try and help Muslims around the world. And that's the manifestation of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray, inshallah, I pray that Allah makes me and you and all of us and all the Muslims of those people that He says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And let the believers put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.